Blog Talk Radio.
What? Yeah, it's gonna be kind of cool.
For a second, let's see if you get better service than I do. Can't get service?
Get that out of the way. I've always wanted to do my Mad Dog Chris Russo impression over the air. This is Jim. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. I'm joined by my co-host, Joe Fortunato. Joe, are you there? Oh, we lost Joe. All right, we're off to a flying start. Well, anyway, this is the first edition of Blue Shirt Banter Radio, and I see, just waiting to see if Joe calls back in. We're going to get right to it. And as soon as Joe calls back in, he'll be chiming in with some stuff. First off, I want to thank all of you who have been coming on to Blue Shirt Banter. There's more and more of you every day. We've got great membership. We've got a lot of great posters. And I look forward to more of you joining us every day. I hope you're making us part of your daily read because you guys are what makes the site go. Last night we had Jess Rubenstein from Prospect Park. He joined us for a live chat and talked about the NHL draft and a bunch of other stuff. And let's see, I think we have Joe back. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Joe's back. You kind of fooled me there because you called in on a different number.
Yeah, my phone lost service.
Well, that's not good. For those of you I guess nobody knows, Joe is out at Jones Beach calling in. He's getting ready for the Kenny Chesney concert, but he didn't want to miss this, so he's in the parking lot getting ready for Kenny Chesney. But, Joe, we were just getting ready to talk about Jess's chat last night, which was great. He talked about the draft, and we had a lot of great questions about prospects, and we just wanted to talk about that a little bit before we get into some other stuff. One of the first, we're not going to go over the whole chat, but just point out some of the highlights. One of the first things we went over, which was great, was Jess was asked about Bobby Sanguinetti. I think it was Joe. I think you asked him about Sanguinetti, didn't you?
That was me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and Jess basically said that he thought Sanguinetti was going to fool a lot of people. And be ready to make the Rangers coming out of training camp, which I think is great. And Sanguinetti grew up a Ranger fan. And in case you missed it, we did an interview a couple weeks ago with Bobby. He took some questions from you guys and answered them. And Joe, he even talked about growing up as a Ranger fan.
Well, yeah. I mean, what he said was that obviously as a kid growing up, every intention is to make the NHL. But then to be able to play for the same team that you rooted for as a kid puts it at an even, the next level. And I think the main thing that Jess was trying to get at from what Bobby had said was that You know, you have to, obviously you have to have tons of determination and motivation to even make it in any professional sports venue, but to play for your home team, to be picked for your own team, has to give you that extra oomph that you'll need, you know, to put you where you want to be. And, I mean, let's face it, this is probably a good year for defensemen for the Rangers because, you know, there's rumors out there that Redden's going away, Roosevelt's been on the block a lot, Mara and Morris are not returning. I mean, really, the only people that you can say are definitely going to be in blue next year, Staal and Girardi. So it really wouldn't surprise me if two or three guys made it out of camp. And, you know, work ethic is one of the big things. John Tortorella loves the work ethic in the kids. He plays them a lot. He needs people who, you know, they have speed and they care when they play. And Sanguinetti will be one of those people because he did root for the Rangers from the get-go.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, you know, Sanguinetti talked about growing up a Ranger fan and wanted to play for him. I mean, you know, that's something we all did that. You know, anybody who ever picked up, you know, even doesn't even have to be hockey. If you're a baseball player, you know, you dreamed of someday playing at Yankee Stadium and you pictured yourself in that uniform. And, you know, that's the way, you know, I used to play hockey when I was a kid. And, you know, you always dreamed of putting on that jersey and playing at Madison Square Garden. So he's literally going to be living the dream, chances are, come the 2009-2010 season. One of the Jess made a great analogy. He was asked about the difference between the OHL and the AHL and the NHL, and he put it this way. He said the OHL is like 30 miles an hour. The AHL is like 50 miles an hour, and the NHL is like 75 miles an hour. And he said a prospect needs to work his way up to the speed of each level, and that nobody has the same adjustment speed, but he thinks that Sanguinetti is close to being ready. So I'm pretty excited about that because all of us at Blue Shirt Banter are definitely pulling for Bobby. Anybody that took the time out to answer those questions and get on our site, we're definitely going to root for him, pull for him.
Yeah, I don't...
No, you go ahead.
I had also asked Jeff last night that, you know, a lot of people are talking about Michael Delzato being the next big Ranger thing. He put up, you know, more than a point a game in the OHL this year. He had like 16 goals and I think 49 or 50 assists maybe. But what a lot of people forget is that in Sanguinetti's last year in the OHL, he had like 24 goals and 70 points, which kind of blows Michael Delzato's numbers out of the water. And like Jeff had said, he played a year in the AHL this year. He played, you know, in that 50-mile-per-hour zone. He got used to it. And he even said in the question and answer segment that Jim is talking about that it was really good for him to, you know, get that level of maturity under his belt. Because if he really expects to make the team, very few guys. I mean, John Tavares is one of them. Stamkos is another from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Make the jump from OHL to NHL directly. And, you know, most defensemen especially, because it's such a hard position to play, need to be in the AHL first. And, you know, he had that extra experience this past year.
Absolutely, and I definitely think that's going to help him. And when you talk about the numbers that Sanguinetti put up in the AHL, the first name that comes to mind, you can't help but thinking, man, those are Brian Leetch-worthy numbers right there. But, you know, we'll wait a little while before we start making those comparisons. But when talking about the draft a little bit with Jess last night, he was asked a couple of times if he thought the Rangers needed to move up or if he thought they'd be staying where they were. And Jess seems to think that the Rangers can get a good player right where they are and that it would be harder for the Rangers to move up at this point because they don't necessarily have all the necessary assets to make that move. So they're probably – his feeling was that they would stay right where they are and that they'll get somebody of good value. And I don't know. We've heard all different kinds of things. They're going to move up. They're going to move down. They're going to stay where they are. I really don't think we'll know until Friday night. I'm not sure the Rangers know exactly what they're going to do. I think there's a lot of things hanging in the balance, and I think it'll just come down to it might be a very last minute decision for them. And before we move on, I just want to give out the phone number so we could take some calls from you guys. The phone number is 646 478-4692. We are going to take some calls probably in a few minutes. We want to go through some stuff with you guys first and then get as many of you on as we can. So I'm sorry, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Joe. Is there something else you wanted to add there about moving down?
Normally, you know, you have your guys, like Brian Burke, for instance, is one of them, who openly says he's the general manager of the Leafs. You know, it is fully our intention to move up in the draft. And obviously with Duchesne, or I think that's how you pronounce his name, Hedman and Tavares, obviously the main goal would be to slip into that top three spot somehow. Jeff's main point was that the Rangers, in their prospect pool, do not have depth anywhere. They have good prospects on, you know, each position, but they don't. It's not like they have four defensive prospects so that they can throw one, you know, out in a trade. They need to, you know, they don't have that kind of luxury. As a result, he doesn't know if they have the potential to throw someone into a trade, and even if they were, they'd probably end up losing Dubinsky, Callahan, Stahl, Grachev, Delgado, Sanguinetti, and you really want to give those guys up in the first place.
The answer to that is probably not. Unless we're talking about a major move, like you said, into the very top of the draft, you know, you don't want to move any of those guys. As far as a couple of the prospects that the Rangers have on the way up, Jess was asked about Evgeny Grachev, and basically, Jeff said that he struggles with working hard all the time, and his advantage in the OHL was his size. And towards the end of the season, he was getting better at understanding the need to go out and play hard every night, and that, you know, the Rangers are going to probably have to give him a little time to pick up his work ethic, because Tortorella, you know, just won't stand for that.
Yeah, and he said that a year in the AHL would probably aid that process, because you really do learn who you are as a hockey player in the American Hockey League. I mean, you know, there are tons and tons of prospects out there who do fantastically in the OHL, who do fantastically in the Quebec Junior Major League up in Canada. But those are very high-scoring leagues, low defense, and there is a tendency for players to coast. So it is kind of a big deal to see whether or not the NHL, you know, whether or not you're compatible in the AHL. And if you're compatible in the AHL, most cases are you're going to be a pretty good NHL player. But you have to work hard every night.
Absolutely. And that's something else that we talked about last night. With Tortorella, the younger players like Dubinsky and Callahan, who in my opinion their game picked up tremendously when Tortorella took over. The younger guys are happier to have Tortorella around, because if you work hard, you're going to play for John Tortorella. If you don't, you're going to sit. There's no coddling the veterans the way Tom Rennie did. You know, and in the end, it cost Tom Reddy his job. So I think you know, the younger players are really gonna benefit from playing for Tortorella, and hopefully Grachev will be one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to think of him not being a top end prospect. For those of you that don't know his story, I think it's kind of important to throw it out there. He's a kid out of Russia. He's a kid out of Russia who was projected to be a first-round draft pick.
Thank you.
But he injured himself somehow. I think it was his elbow. And he didn't play for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, for an extended period of time that made scouts nervous. So the Rangers picked him at number three in the third round. And a lot of people were surprised he fell that far. And he was, as you know, Rookie of the Year in the OHL. He had 40 goals and 40 assists. And he is, like, teams are kicking themselves. I mean, certain teams passed him up three or four times, and the Rangers grabbed him. You know, Steve Zippy said it best. They struck gold in the third round, and I think he's going to be a quality player if they mature him the right way. You can't just rush him to the NHL.
Right, I agree. He's, unfortunately, as bad as the Rangers need offensive help, he's probably at least another year away, would you say, maybe two?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on whether or not, unless he starts the year in the AHL, if he goes right to the AHL, he might be a year away. I say if he starts the year in the AHL, you're going to see him come up for a couple of stints with the big clubs, whether it's injuries or just getting him some time in the NHL.
All right, and so also everybody, you know, the question on everybody's mind is who are the Rangers going to draft? And we did touch on that with Jess. And Jess seems to feel, and I agreed with him, and Joe agreed with him. We had talked about this separately on the site. Probably maybe as high as the third round. I think the Rangers will probably look for another goaltender. The first two rounds, I think definitely they'll look for forwards to start stockpiling the system with some offensive talent. Third round, they probably look for a goaltender, and then after that, maybe just go best player available all the way down the line.
Yeah, well, here's the deal with this draft. The only way the Rangers are not going to take a forward in the first round is if Ryan Ellis's name is still on the board when they're picking. I think that if Ryan Ellis is up there, you almost have to take him, because if it weren't for his size, he'd be getting picked in front of John Tavares, I guarantee it. If he was 3 inches taller, he would be a top three pick, easy. He broke Bobby Orr's record for most assists in the OHL, and he put up like 35 points in the playoffs, so this kid's the real deal. The good news for this year's draft is that not a lot of teams are going to go out there looking for goaltenders. Teams that are going to go out looking for goalies, probably the Blues, you know, the Flyers might, because this Ray Emery incident is not going to last very long. You can get, you know, Jess, Jim, and I talked about this. You can get a first-round prospect goaltender in the third round this year, because this year is so deep with goaltenders, it's ridiculous. And a lot of names going out there, Oliver Waugh, E.J. Hackett, these are two guys that are on the Rangers' radar that are fantastic prospects, because when you think about it, Lundqvist isn't going to be around forever, and they don't have a good goaltender prospect who can just hop into the NHL right now.
No, absolutely right. So yeah, that's going to be something that we'll be keeping an eye on. And for those of you that don't know, I will be at the draft. I'm heading up there Friday morning. I'll be covering the NHL draft. The NHL was kind enough to grant eight of the SB Nation bloggers will be attending the draft. I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully bring you guys some good information, and who knows, maybe grab some interviews along the way.
Well, we should also explain that what Jim has done is, on the day that the draft happens, there's going to be a post on the website called Live from the Draft Open Thread 1. And what that's going to be is all of the interviews that Jim has and all of the information he gathers from the draft is going to be put into that file, and you can open it up and look at it right from the site as soon as he gets it.
Right. What I'll be doing is there'll be a section you'll see on the left-hand column of the site. Actually, it's already there. There's just nothing in it. And it's entitled Live at the NHL Draft. And if there's any interviews that come up that I can give you guys audio of, I'll upload them to that section, and then I'll let you guys know in the open draft thread, hey, there's an interview with such and such, and you guys can go over to the section and give it a listen. I just figured that was the easiest way to do it, as opposed to just constantly trying to post audio in the threads or posting into the main page, and then it just gets all messed up. So I just figured that was the easiest way. So that's what we're going to do. But there was one other prospect, Ranger prospect, that Jess was talking about, that he's really high on, and that's Derek Stepan. He seems to think Stepan is going to be an impact player for the Rangers. He's watched him on many occasions. He says his speed and smarts are impact factors. And he doesn't need to make any fancy moves. He just takes off with his speed, and he said nobody can catch him. He said when he gets to the Rangers, he'll immediately become their fastest skater. And he thinks Stepan is 2 years away at the most from making the Rangers. So Well, some more good news on the way.
He's an interesting story, too. He's also from last year's draft. Last year, the Rangers chose Michael Delzato, Derek Stefan, and Evgeny Grachev in that order. And Stefan was a kid out of high school who scored 55 goals and had, like, 45 assists in, I think he did it in, like, 38 or 39 games. And he's currently tearing things up in for the Wisconsin Badgers in the NCAA. Now, my Quinnipiac Bobcats in the NCAA are pretty good. We were ranked 12th in our heyday 2 years ago. We had a rough year last year. So I can tell you that you see some very quality players come out of the NCAA. He is in one of the better divisions in college hockey, and he was second in scoring for Wisconsin. And like Jess said last night, Wisconsin produces quality hockey players. It's no joke to be playing on Wisconsin, and he's doing unbelievably. And Jess said that he sees him play all the time. He says he's one of the fastest skaters on the ice. He has unbelievable vision, great passes, and a fantastic shot. And he's not fancy, like you said, which is so important because sometimes people just get too fancy with the puck. And if you're a Ranger fan, you've seen it before. You hate it. You hate the pass-up shot. Nylander used to do it all the time. Roosevelt always used to defer to Jagr, not with Derek Stefan.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, and so Stefan is somebody that we can look forward to hopefully soon. And finally, we were pressing Jess as to who he would pick if he were the Rangers. He was kind of reluctant to tell us, but finally we nailed him down, and his pick would be Zach Budish. Budish, I guess is how you, is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, that's how you say his last name.
If he's still there. Or he also likes Jordan Karen. He says Karen is more of a fits into the Tortorella style better than a lot of the other players that are going to be available. And
if I can get a word in edgewise here very quickly, I don't know if you guys know, I have a mock draft that's going up tomorrow morning. I actually have, and I. You know, I looked when I made the mock draft up. It's for all 30 teams for the whole first round. I set up, I looked at the NHL has 3 mock drafts. I looked at mynhldraft.com. I looked at all the scouting reports. Budish is going to be in my draft, I'll give you a little spoiler. He's taken last by the Pittsburgh Penguins. He is a late first round, mid second round pick on every draft I've seen. So he might be available for the Rangers. Now, the other pick you were talking about was who? Did you say the Rangers were going to grab?
He was also talking about Jordan Caron.
Jordan, is that the defenseman?
No, he is the he's a winger. He is from the Quebec, the QMJHL.
Oh yeah, the Quebec. He's a little bit.
He's a right winger. He's a right winger, big kid.
He might get taken earlier. He's, you know who he reminds me of? Not in skill, but in his position. Carter Ashton. We talked about him a lot. These are big, like Zach Tassan. These are big power forward guys, big guys who can play hockey and score goals. No one knows where they're going to go. I mean, the constant thought process is that your generic teams, like the Oilers, are looking for a power forward. You think the Canadiens might look for a power forward. They might go for them. You never know where these guys are going to fall, and you know, obviously the Rangers would like it if one of these guys fell in their laps, but you never know. But Jeff is a professional. He knows these things. Let's hope for our sake and his that where he's right.
Carter Ashton, the official blue shirt banter selection for the Rangers in the SB Nation mock draft. After Scott Glennie was right there up until the end, and then Montreal grabbed him at number 18, and we had to scramble a little bit. But we wound up going with Carter Ashton, who I think will be a good pick. I think he's going to be a good player in the league.
NHL raved about him. NHL.com did a whole piece on him the other day. I was thinking about putting it up on the site. I didn't. It's about how he's going to be. People were saying he's going to be better than Kassan, better than Budish. He's the best power forward in the draft available. And a lot of guys might pass up on him because he's in the WHL instead of the OHL.
Yeah, and Ashton's been a guy. He's a guy that's been mentioned with the Rangers a few times. So I think he's going to be a name to watch on Friday night if the Rangers do have a selection at number 19. You know, if they don't move up or move down or trade the pick, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But let me give you guys the phone number again if you want to call in. It is 646-478-4692. Give us a call. We'll put you on and talk about whatever you want. And now I hate to end the wrap up on Jess's chat on a bad note, but he did give us a little bit of kind of a downer news. He doesn't think Blair Betts is going to be back with the Rangers next year. He thinks he thinks that Betts is going to go somewhere else where he can get more playing time.
Well, I think it's going to be a kind of big blow because, I mean, what was the Rangers' calling card last year? Their penalty kill. And when you
without
think
a doubt.
Kill, you think Blair Betts. He is, without a doubt, the best fourth-line player in the NHL. He could probably even be the best third-line player in the NHL. And he's the type of guy that you wish you could put some skill into. Because if he had the skill of, say, like, you know, even if he had just a little bit more scoring touch, he'd be unbelievable because his hockey IQ is off the friggin' charts. He is such a smart hockey player that you just wish that he had a little bit more of a scoring touch. He'd be unbelievable in the NHL. But he was very useful as a penalty killer. And if he leaves, I wish him all the best. And wherever he goes, if he doesn't come back to the Rangers, they are a very lucky team because he is fantastic.
The thing that I think amazes me most about Blair Betts is his shot blocking ability. I mean, there is not a shot in the league that he won't throw his body in front of, and it's just it's amazing because he blocks the shot and gets up every time, except when Brashear hit him. We won't get into that.
It's unfortunate because he, you know, you have to think that Callahan, Shustrom, Dubinsky, Stahl, the young guys who play on the penalty kill are learning how to play on the penalty kill because of a guy like Blair Betts who takes them aside or who even goes out and leads by example enough to show, you know, I'm not afraid to put my face in front of a, you know, an Alexander Ovechkin slap shot, which is probably similar to being shot.
Yeah, you're not kidding with some of those ones he takes. I don't know how he's able to get up from some of them. But hopefully on that one, Jess is wrong, and Betsy will be back anchoring the penalty kill. You know, part of the problem is that John Tortorella made it pretty clear from the time he took the job that he was only going to roll three lines, and that left Blair Betts out in the cold. And on nights where the Rangers weren't taking a lot of penalties, there were some nights where he would only get like 5 or 6 minutes of ice time. So, you know, unfortunately, it was just a numbers game with Tortorella and Betts got left out.
You can point the finger of blame a little bit here to Tom Rennie, only in that his system incorporated four lines and Blair Betts would see 11 to 12 minutes a night, something that I know on my blog before I started up with Blue Shirt Banter that I would always be upset about because you have a fourth line for a reason. They're an energy line. They should not be seeing 10 or 11 minutes of even strength time. And I think that at the end of the day, when Betts looks at it, he will play that amount of time. Betts could be a third liner on another team. He really could be. You know, we just have so much center depth with Dubinsky, Drury, and Gomez that there's no room for Betts on the third line. And I think that affects his playing time. And, I mean, obviously, if you're in the NHL, you want to play. He'll probably make a cool million and a half from another team. I mean, good luck to him. But if that's what he wants, I mean, John Tortorella, I like rolling three lines. I think it's effective. On that same note, though, don't forget Shustrom is a free agent this year, and so is Colton Orr, and there are rumors surfacing that the Rangers are not going to sign Colton Orr, and there's rumors surfacing that Shustrom might go somewhere else for the money.
Yeah, the Colton Orr thing, Ryan, one of our other writers who couldn't join us tonight, along with Rob, unfortunately, they both had to work late, and we had to take this early time slot to be able to get on with you guys, so they're not going to be able to join us tonight. But Ryan had put up a story the other day about Colton Orr not being made an offer yet, and I think the Panthers might be interested in him. And I have to be honest, a lot of our readers on Blue Shirt Banner kind of got all worked up over it. I just think that guys like him are easier to replace. And if he goes, well, okay, you lose your fighter, one of your fighters, but I think he can be replaced. If he stays, great. And if not, well, unfortunately, sometimes that happens. We have to move on, and we'll have to get somebody else. But I didn't get as worked up over it. It wasn't like, oh my God, we're losing Colton Orr. What are we going to do? It wasn't quite like losing Stahl or Lundqvist or Wade Redden.
I would agree with you, but I think the difference is that when Tom Rennie did very well, everybody on that fourth line, including Colton Orr, a purebred fighter, if he scores one goal a year, you're incredibly happy for the guy point-wise. He played unbelievable defense. He shut down Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals, him and that fourth line, in the postseason. A fighter who goes out, knocks a guy's teeth onto the ice, and they can go out, block shots, and play solid defense, you're only going to find guys like that in Tom Rennie's system. And those are not dime a dozen. You cannot replace Colton Orr. I mean, if you think about it, think of like Donald Brashear, Steve Downey on the Flyers, any other tough guy you can think of. 90% of them could barely skate. Colton Orr is a quality hockey player who has some serious defensive skill to him. And these are the guys that you want out there. You just don't. A guy just doesn't throw on a sweater and fight. You want a guy who can play, and he's not a defensive liability. I think Colton Orr is one of those players, and I would hate to see him leave, especially if he goes to a rival team.
Well, the one thing I will say about Colton Orr is that his hockey skills are much improved from when we first saw him in a Ranger uniform. Because in when we first saw him, he was just a fighter who skated.
Yeah.
He was a skating fighter. But his hockey skills have improved. I will give him that much. But again, if we have to say goodbye to Colton Orr, I'll get over it. But on another note, I mentioned Wade Redden's name, and Redden's been a topic of discussion today on Blue Shirt Banter because the Toronto Globe and Mail had a story up today that the Maple Leafs might be zeroing in on Wade Redden, and that they might be interested in making a deal for him. They're looking to trade Thomas Cavalier. And Kubina, right? Pavel Kubina, was that the other was that the other guy mentioned in the story?
I don't even know what Kubina. I think it was Panikrovsky.
And it kind of got everybody all worked up. I don't think there's anybody who roots for the Rangers who wants to see Wade Redden back next season, but we might not have a choice. So we'll see what happens. The story was that the Maple Leafs have been zeroing in on Wade Redden, and that the Leafs have plenty of cap room, but they might be looking to move Cabrera or Kubina. I'm looking at the story now that we posted up today.
Here's the way this is going to work, and Brian Burke has said this earlier in the year or earlier in the offseason. Brian Burke has tons of cap space to work with. He will take a terrible contract plus a prospect or a draft pick and take it off the hands. So, for instance, Callahan and Wade Redden for, Kubina or Caberle or something like that. A deal that puts, the Toronto Maple Leafs, yes, they take a bad contract, but they get rid of a guy they want to get rid of, and they get a top prospect or a top draft pick.
That deal you mentioned, Joe, do you take that deal? You make that deal?
Would I take Redden and Callahan for Kubina?
Yes. You make that deal?
I would take that in a heartbeat without even thinking about it. I would take that in a heartbeat. But there's no way Burke is going to offer that. Kubina is...
I don't think so either, but...
Kubina
fun to speculate. That's why we sit on this side of the you know, that we could speculate all day long.
Kubina makes $4 million a year for the next 3 years. He's a lock to put up 60 points as a defenseman. That is ridiculous numbers for the amount of money he makes.
Well, he only put up 40 this year.
Well, he was injured, wasn't he? He broke his hand.
No. Now he played 82 games.
What?
According to his SB Nation player page, he played 82 games, 40 points, and he was minus 15.
I don't think so. I remember his hand being broken, and they didn't know if they were going to be able to trade him.
No.
I could be wrong. It's not a terrible Maple Leafs team.
No, I'm looking at his his injuries right now, and nothing. So I don't know. So I don't see anything about his hand right there right now. He's had a couple of knee injuries the last couple of years, but nothing else. So, and the other hot topic is Danny Heatley. Rumors about Danny Heatley. He's asked Ottawa for a trade, and I think it's on everybody's mind. Are the Rangers interested? Supposedly the Rangers are on his list, his wish list of teams he wants to be traded to. When we took the poll on the website, everybody overwhelmingly said they'd want to see him come to the Rangers. And Ottawa, if they don't trade him by July 1st, they'll have to pay him, I think is it a $4 million bonus, Joe?
$4
million bonus. So they're looking to move him. So that could be something that goes on Friday night.
This is perfect for teams looking for a quality sniper, because Murray, the general manager of the Senators, has already admitted he's not going to get full value back for Danny Heatley, given the situation that he's in right now. The Rangers should hop all over this. Okay?
Well, absolutely.
Callahan, give him Zverev. Give him even the first-round pick. Give him something. Get Danny Heatley, because how many times can you get a guy who scores at least 40 goals a year at 28 years old? You have him for the next 5 years. Yeah, he has a $7.5 million cap hit, but the guy produces. He had two 50-goal, 100-point seasons in a row for Ottawa. Things started turning downhill. I'd hop all over this guy. I would take him. Glenn Sather at least has to pick up the phone. And if the Rangers are on his wish list, he has a no-trade clause, so he gets to give a list of teams that he will accept a trade to. If the Rangers are on that list, Glenn Sather has to make a very, very big effort to get him, because he is exactly what the doctor ordered for the power play, and he is exactly what the doctor ordered for the scoring needs.
I agree. The other thing about Heatley, he's pretty durable. Last four seasons, he's only missed 11 games. That's pretty good right there.
And he's a big guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 6'3", 6'4", I think. Well over 200 pounds. He's a big guy. He can throw a hit when he needs to, without a doubt. He's a good, big, strong guy. And I think if the Rangers have the opportunity to make a deal, I think they should. He might be the perfect guy to pair up with Scott Gomez.
He's involved. He's heard that you hear him in the trade rumors.
I'm sorry?
Is that what you said? You said you heard Gomez in the trade rumors?
No, I said he'd be the perfect guy to pair up with Gomez.
He would be the perfect guy to pair up with Gomez. And I know that a couple of people asked the question about fitting Heatley under the salary cap. The Rangers have, I think, $12 million worth of room right now with all of the free agents not re-signed. I think it's something like that. If the Rangers were to trade for Danny Heatley, Roosevelt, let's say they give them, I think the deal that was on the table was Roosevelt, Zverev, and like a second-round draft pick, right? Roosevelt's $5 million a year. Zverev is $3.5 million a year. So that right there is enough to cover Heatley. But then you have to think that the Rangers would also waive Wade Redden, maybe use his $6.5 million to re-sign either Morris or Paul Mara, and then let Girardi and Staal take the other two spots on the defense, And then maybe call up Sanguinetti and, you know, let Sawyer or Corey Potter, maybe Komisarek from Montreal, he's a free agent this year, maybe let them take in. I mean, Gilroy is probably going to end up making the Rangers next year. They signed him to a two-year, one-way contract. I don't know. I see the defensive possibilities to be limitless right now, but if you need to make room, Roosevelt's $5 million a year. Redden is $6.5 million a year. That's $9.5 million on the cap. You know, Roosevelt's an easy contract to move. Obviously, Redden isn't, but, you know, they have to do something to make it work. Hey.
You know, you bring up Matt Gilroy, and I forgot to mention Matt Gilroy last night when Jess was asked about who might be some of the young kids that actually make the Rangers roster come October. His dark horse is Matt Gilroy. He thinks Matt Gilroy will be the replacement for Derek Morris, who I doubt very highly the Rangers are going to re-sign. I don't know. My opinion of Derek Morris was he really wasn't the guy I thought the Rangers were getting. He was just okay. We never really saw his ability from the power play that was advertised when the Rangers made the deal for him. So I can't imagine them re-signing him. And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I mean, well, I guess I should start this with Derek Morris probably won't be back in Ranger blue. Someone is going to overpay for him. That's just the nature of the beast. But Matt Gilroy is, I mean, first of all, the Rangers signed him to a one-way contract. For those of you who don't know what that means that wherever he starts the year, whether it's the AHL or the NHL, he needs to go through waivers to go back or forth. My assumption is the Rangers are going to start him in the NHL. They gave him $1.75 million a year. You don't give a guy almost $2 million a year to sit in the AHL. So Matt Gilroy, expect him to make the team, from my opinion. 100% expect him to make the team. Morris, don't expect him back. He was a huge disappointment considering what the Rangers had to give up to get him. I don't see him happening.
What do you think about Mara? I don't expect to see Mara back. Mara wants to be a Ranger. He said that on his way out the door,
back.
But I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Such a good team player. Such a nice guy. He took a hometown discount to stay last year. I truly expect him. I want him back. But I don't know if he's going to come back. He might be too expensive. Someone, you know, might overpay for him. You never know. But I hope he's back. He would anchor the defense.
All right, let's give out the phone number again. We'd like to hear from you guys if you want to call in. 646-478-4692. Give us a call. We'll put you on and talk about whatever you want as far as the Rangers are concerned. Again, that's 646-478-4692. Joe, what else you want to talk about tonight? We got about 20 minutes to go before we got to wrap this up.
Well,
actually, 16 minutes.
What else do you have on the list?
Danny Heatley, we wanted to talk about, which we did. We got Wade Redden.
I guess we could do you want to give your free agent wish list?
My free agent wish list.
Like, if you could sign anyone right now on the UFA list, or even, you know, on the restricted free, or, you know, better yet, do you think Zverev is going to be back for the New York Rangers this year?
Do I think he's going to be back, or do I think he's going to be back, or do I think he should be back? Because I have two different answers. Do I think he's going to be back? Yes, I do. Do I think he should be back?
Yes, you
no,
do.
No, I don't. No, I don't. To me, he is. I've said this at least five times on the website. He is Alexei Kovalev, the next generation. He tons of talent. And just he just seems to be in outer space sometimes.
How do you turn on a guy that young with that much talent?
Columbus got tired of waiting for that talent to come around.
He had a great year last year. He put up he put up 60 points in a very defensive Tom Rennie system. I think that this kid can be the real deal as long as John Tortorella gives him the leash.
I don't know.
I
don't know. I would hate to see the Rangers pay him too much money to continue to get 23 goals, and you know. But I don't know. He's another one. If he stays great, and if he doesn't, I don't think we're going to be sitting around next year going, gee, I really wish we had Nikolaj Zverev back. But you know. He might be exactly the type of player who goes somewhere else and scores 50 goals.
I don't know. I like him. I think he put up 23 goals in such a defensive system. He had 33 assists on a team who couldn't score. I mean, I think this is the kind of kid that you want on your hockey team. And, yes, he takes shifts off. Yes, you know, he doesn't play hard every time. That's going to change under Tortorella. All you got to do is give the kid a chance and not get on him. He wants to be a Ranger next year. He'll sign for the least he can sign, 3.75 a year. Give him a 2 or 3 year contract and let him play and see what happens.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm kind of on the fence. It's just, I don't know. Sometimes you wonder how long you got to sit and wait for, you know, young players to develop. We've seen so many young players come up with the Rangers, and it just, you keep waiting for it to happen, and it doesn't happen. Until they trade him somewhere else, and then it happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, but I think if he goes somewhere else, he's going to be a star. I feel like this really could have been a breakout year for him, and it just, you know what I mean? He had his difficulties, but I don't know. I think that he can be a quality hockey player in the NHL, and I think he will be if they just give him a shot, and they need to put a team around them. I mean, who
else? Okay, let me ask you this. Since you brought up the fact that he was playing in the defensive system with Rennie. How do you account for the fact that you could make the argument that under Tortorella he looked worse than he ever did under Tom Rennie?
Well, I agree with you on that subject, but I think what happened is with a lot of players, the conditioning that John Tortorella demands for a hockey player is a lot different than Tom Rennie. And don't forget that the switch didn't come in the offseason. It came in the middle of the actual regular season. Tom Rennie did not demand a lot of speed from his players. He did not demand a lot of stamina. He ran only he ran four lines that gives Sheridan 2 or 3 minutes less a game, at least. I think that, for the most part, it's, you know what I mean? I mean, John Tortorella demands a lot. I think if Sheridan comes back next year, he'll be great. I think that he'll be more prepared to play under John Tortorella system. I don't think he was ready for it. I really don't. Because Tom Rennie didn't ask that much from him, and John Tortorella did.
Okay, so you think after a training camp with John Tortorella, which I don't know if you've read any of the stories about him, but Tortorella's training camps are rumored to be like Marine boot camp, basically.
Ruling.
So you think that after a training camp with Tortorella, Zverev will know better what his role is and what to expect, and he'll be in better condition.
Zverev knows better right now. It's just that, I mean, and you know, a lot of players said that they didn't deal well with the switch that Tortorella demanded. They didn't, like,
okay.
They couldn't handle it. A lot of players, Callahan, Dubinsky, Staal, the veterans.
Well, you make a fair point, and I think we'll probably know in a little over a week, because July 1st is free agency, and you know, decisions come very fast. That July 1st is going to be a very busy day. If I remember correctly, both the Gomez and Drury deals were made within hours of the free agency deadline. Things happen very fast, so I think we'll know rather quickly. Even Andrew Gross on Ranger Rants the other day was saying that we should have a pretty good idea by the 4th of July what the Ranger roster is going to look like.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you will have a good idea by July.
Well, we'll see what's going on.
We will.
But all right, we got 10 minutes to go. We still haven't had a caller. We're still waiting. 646-478-4692. Give us a call. We'll put you right on, and ask us a question. Yell at us. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're doing great. We don't care. We want to hear it. So give us a call. And Joe's got to get ready to go in and see Kenny Chesney.
All right, I'm there
over,
now.
Over at Jones Beach. And I went to I've seen Jimmy Buffett at Jones Beach a couple of times. It's a great place for a concert. Maybe my favorite place in the whole world to go to a concert.
There's a lot of there's a lot of fun. It's raining a little bit, but we're beating the rain.
Good. Dave over at Blue Sea Blogs had sent in a request on the website today that something he wanted us to talk about. I hope he's listening because now we might as well get to it. Oh, well, we got a caller. Hold on, look at this. We got two callers. Look at this. We're going out of our minds. Hold on. All right, let's put our first call up. Here we go. Hi, you're live on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yeah, it's Mike, Howard Beach, New York. How you doing?
Mike, how's it going? Hey, you're live
hey,
on the
good.
Air with Jim and Joe. Let me just give everybody a little background. This is actually one of my best friends on the planet. This is Mike. He lives in New York. We lived for a while together in Arizona and down here in Florida. And now he's up in New York and he's calling in. What's on your mind, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to know your opinion on the whole, you know, Brian Leach getting elected to the Hall of Fame, which is obviously a no-brainer. You know, the historical significance in New York sports, I mean, the 94 Rangers being a seminal moment in New York sports, 86 Mets, 69 Mets, 72 Knicks, the whole thing, and Brian Leach winning the Conn Smythe that year, but obviously, I think we've had this argument before, you know, Brian Leach being the greatest Ranger of all time, but everybody talks about, you know, Mark Messier and that whole, you know, calling his shot and all that. Brian Leach never really did that. You know, he was kind of a grinder, one of the most fantastic two-way players of all time. I mean, can you really compare a guy like Brian Leach to Mark Messier, say? What's your opinion?
Jim?
Well, let me put it this. Yeah, I'm here. Let me put it this way. In terms of longevity as a New York Ranger, and their career as a New York Ranger, you'd be hard pressed not to make a case that Brian Leach is one of, if not the greatest Ranger. Mark Messier is a great Ranger, but let's face it, he spent all those years in Edmonton, spent, you know, five seasons with the Rangers before he left for Vancouver, before he came back when they had that whole bury the hatchet ceremony. And, you know, by the time he came back, his best years were behind him. But, I mean, I think you'd have to put Brian Leach up there, Rod Gilbert and Harry Howell, and now I'm going back, and I've probably got anybody that's under the age of 30 who's listening going, who? So, but, yeah, I would definitely say he's right there. Maybe him and Gilbert are 1 and 1A, and you know, there's no wrong choice.
You would put Gilbert as 1A, even though, you know, he is the scoring champ. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, being the scoring champ. I know Phil Esposito was a cherry picker, and he scored a lot of goals. But you know, Leach was an assist guy. Gilbert
right.
was a goal scorer. I mean, how do you compare the two?
I mean, you have to look at it also from the standpoint that, I mean, when you think about it, Brian Leach and Gilbert put up close to the same numbers. Obviously, Gilbert had more. Brian Leach was a defenseman, and I think that he kind of changed the game. I mean, when was the last time you could think of a defenseman who put up 100 points in a season in the modern era? You really can't. And
it's only been done 5 times in NHL history.
Right.
And, I mean, one of those times, Phil Coffey had 50 goals, but there's no need to talk about that. I think that when you talk about Brian Leach and a Ranger, he's never really been a captain. You know, when he wore the C, he even said himself he was uncomfortable. I think that Brian Leetch's need Mark Messier's to succeed. I think if Messier never came, Leetch never would have been as prolific as he was because, I mean, you saw him when he played with the C. He was uncomfortable. He didn't like it. You need a leader. Brian Leetch is not a leader in the locker room. He leads by example. He's a lieutenant of the highest order.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We're starting to run low on time. We got one other call I want to take. But just to give you an example of the type of guy Brian Leetch is, he was the quiet guy who didn't want a lot of attention. The night the Rangers retired his jersey, he took part of his speech to announce that the Rangers were going to announce retire Adam Graves' jersey the following season. And I just thought that kind of exemplified what Brian Leetch, the type of guy he was, where he took a night that was all about him and made it about somebody else, at least for a brief amount of time. So, to sum it up, Mike, I would say Leetch and Gilbert, 1 and 1A. If you want to give Leetch, you might have to give Leetch the nod for winning the cup and winning the Conn Smythe, but I don't think there's a wrong answer.
All right, one last thing. Where do you think Leetch falls in the pantheon of New York sports? You know, Namath and Seaver and all that. Where do you think he fits?
I think because he's in hockey, it's going to be lower than if he were in baseball.
Well, in New York, hockey's pretty, you know, the Rangers are pretty big compared to other cities.
To me, he's number one without a question.
I'll tell you what. This will be a topic on our next show. We'll devote a little more time to it.
Right.
Off the very top of my head, I'd say Leetch is maybe top 10 all-time New York athletes.
I think so. Absolutely.
If you're going to talk about length of career and what they did in their career, I think that's fair. And like I said, we'll debate that next time. And Mike, I'm gonna have to hang up on you so I can take one more call, and I'll call you later.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
All right, we got one more call, and then we're gonna be all done. Let's see. You hooked up here. Hello. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Stan from Bayside.
Stan from Bayside?
Yeah, you can hear me. Good.
Yeah, oh yeah, I can hear you. Stan, okay. are you a regular poster on Blue Shirt Banter?
No.
Oh, okay.
You should.
Well, how you doing? Exactly. You should be. Well, you're on the air with Jim and Joe. Let's go. What can we do for you?
Okay. Yeah, I saw today. Tell me, it was hard to believe that Toronto would actually be interested in Wade Redden. That cannot be true.
Let's go.
It depends. Of course. We put that up on the site today and immediately got swarmed with some of the guys from who are on the SB Nation Maple Leaf site that it can't be true and that the writer was just making it up to try and drum up a little interest, a little attention. But, you know, it sounds crazy, but crazier things that have happened. Toronto has a lot of cap space. Burke wants them. He wants them. Well,
don't forget, it wouldn't just be for Wade Redden. It would be for Wade Redden and a prospect or a first-round draft pick. I mean, Burke isn't just going to take Redden for Caverley. Callahan might be in that deal. You know, Stahl might be in that deal. Dubinsky might be in that deal. And obviously that makes it much less lucrative than it sounds via, you know, just Toronto Maple Leafs want Wade Redden.
Right. The Rangers are definitely going to have to sweeten. They're going to have to sweeten the pot. And it's going to come down to what price are the Rangers willing to pay to get that $6.5 million off the books. How important is it to them? I thought the funniest part of that Globe and Mail story was where it said that the Maple Leafs might be zeroing in on Wade Redden and that the Rangers wouldn't be adverse to trading him. That is the understatement. I think that's the understatement of the year. The Globe and Mail definitely gets an A for diplomacy.
It's crazy, I mean. The guy can't play in the league anymore.
You guys don't need anything else to thank
him. I mean, the only thing I can see is they have to send him to Hartford and just eat the money.
That might be what they wind up doing. But
you have to get him off the cap.
In his
just take it.
I'm sorry, Joe. Joe, can you say that again?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that, you know, they almost have to just take it and put him in the minors. You know what I mean? I mean, they can't keep that contract forever. It's going to handicap the team for years to come.
Well, yeah, the 5 more years to go on that deal. Stan, we're running out of time. I'm going to have to let you go. I thank you for calling in, and I hope you keep reading and keep checking us out and call us next time.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for Blue Shirt Panther Radio.
All right.
We're done. We're off the air.
All right, Jim. That was good. Wasn't it?
Yeah, good job.
I'm just letting you know I've been drinking this entire time.
What?
I've been drinking this entire time.
That's fine. Next time we do this show, you got to be in a secluded area, man. Everything your friends are saying, everybody could hear over the air.
Oh, it was loud?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I kicked my wife out for the night. I said, you got to get out of here. I need quiet. I'm gonna go sit and listen to her right now. I think it went pretty well, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got a lot of good
stuff. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, go enjoy the concert. I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, well, you can text me. Let me know what happens.
All right, later.
Okay, all right, bye.
Bye.